ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುಧೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ. ಭಗವತಿರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಫಾರ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 5, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 19, ಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಐಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಜಂಬೂ ದ್ವೀಪ. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ 7. ನ ಜನ್ಮ ನೂನಂ ಮಹತೋ ನ ಸೌಭಗಂ ನವಾನ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ನ ಕೃತಿಸ್ತೋಷ ಹೇತು. ತೈರ್ಯದ್ ವಿಶ್ರಿತಾನಪಿ ನೋ ವನೌ ಕಸಿ ಕಶಸ್ ಚಕಾರ ಸಖ್ಯೇ ಬತ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣಾಂಗ್ರಜ. ನ ಜನ್ಮ ನೂನಂ ಮಹತೋ ನ ಸೌಭಗಂ ನವಾನ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ನ ನ ಕೃತಿಸ್ತೋಷ ಹೇತು. ನವಾನ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ನ ಕೃತಿಸ್ತೋಷ ಹೇತು. ತೈರ್ಯದ್ ವಿಶ್ರಷ್ಟಾನಪಿ ನೋ ವನೌಕಶ ಚಕಾರ ಸಖ್ಯೇ ಬತ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣಾಂಗ್ರಜ. ನ ಜನ್ಮ ನೂನಂ ಮಹತೋ ನ ಸೌಭಗಂ ನವಾನ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ನ ಕೃತಿಸ್ತೋಷ ಹೇತು. ತೈರ್ಯದ್ ವಿಶ್ರಷ್ಟಾನಪಿ ನೋ ವನೌಕಸಶ್ ಚಕಾರ ಸಖ್ಯೇ ಬತ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣಾಂಗ್ರಜ. ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್. ನ ನಾಟ್ ಜನ್ಮ ಬರ್ತ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಪಾಲಿಶ್ಡ್ ಆರಿಸ್ಟೋಕ್ರಾಟಿಕ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ. ನೂನಂ ಇಂಡೀಡ್ ಮಹತಃ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್. ನ ನಾರ್ ಸೌಭಗಂ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್. ನ ನಾರ್ ವಾಕ್ ಆನ್ ಎಲಿಗೆಂಟ್ manner of speaking. Na nor buddhihi sharpness of intelligence. Na not akritihi features of the body. Tosha hetuhu the cause of pleasure to the Lord. Taihi by all those above mentioned qualities. Yat because vishrishtan rejected api although naha as vana okashah the inhabitants of the forest. Chakara, accepted. Sakhye, in friendship. Bata, alas. Lakshmana, agrajaha. Lord Sri Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications are actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Purport. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and kinchana, something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education and so on, but although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee. And when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by a high birth, wealth, education and personal beauty, Janmaishwarya Shrita Shribhir, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness, nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, bhaktyamam abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price of achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Laulyam ekam mulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavata it is said, kola vecha seva kera dekha bhagya seema brahma shiva khande yara dekhiya mahima dhane jane panditye krishna nahi pai kevala bhaktira vasha vasha chaitanya gosani. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kola Vecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kola Vecha Sridhara and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges and with the other 50% he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils and therefore he drank the water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosani through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಖಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋನ್ ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾಂವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ಋಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. So we are reading a very critical section in the canto 5, especially this chapter. The island of Jambudvipa starts with the description of Bharatavarsha, and also there is a very detailed description of another tract of land called as Kim Purushavarsha. It's a very interesting name. The acharyas write that there are 9 tracts of land, or 9 varshas it is called as. Among those 9 varshas, Bharatavarsha and Kim Purushavarsha are one of them. They are Kim Purusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Bhadrashva, Ketumala, Hiranmaya, Ramya and Kuru. So there are so many varshas, and Bharatavarsha is the 9th. So this particular tract of land, Kim Purushavarsha, is very special because Bhagavatam is mentioning of the eternal devotee of the Supreme Lord when he incarnates as Lord Rama, who is Lord Hanuman. So how can devotional service complete without the mention of Lord Hanuman, because he is also the eternal devotee of the Lord. Sorry, let me say this. And he always accompanies the Lord whenever the Lord incarnates. And here it is said, how Lord Hanuman is worshipping Lord Rama with his consort, Mother Sita, and Lakshmana, Lord Lakshmana, in this tract of land is called as Kim Purusha. It's very interesting. Here, these are the prayers that Hanumanji is offering. And here he is saying, Na janma noonam mahato na saubhagam, na vak na buddhir na kriti tosha hetuhu. I know, my dear Lord, nobody can worship you with greatness of birth or one's good fortune or personal beauty, eloquent speech, buddhi, high-class intelligence. Although we are vanaras, he says, vanaukashas, we are inhabitants of the forest. That is how he's praying to the Lord. Although we don't have any such qualifications and we are vanaras, generally, Sometimes the English translation of Vanara, we translate it as a monkey. But if you really see the etymology of the word Vanara, it is van is forest, and Nara is a human. So a human or a species that lives, Nara is again a living being who lives in the van, he's called as a Vanara. So therefore, they are some special species who live in forest, who are dwellers of the forest. And Kimpurusha Varsha, we have seen that it is just not Vanaras who live here. We also have the chief, Arishteshna, and then there are Gandharvas also in this planet, Kimpurusha. And then they are constantly reciting the Ramayana. They are constantly reciting the glories of Lord Rama, and they are worshipping the deities of Lord Ram there. So therefore, Vanara just doesn't mean monkey. Vanara means there are some special species that the scriptures suggest that they are neither completely humans nor completely monkeys. They are in between, like a humanoid. And many Hollywood movies have also come to depict such species actually. But Bhagavatam is not less of any wonder actually, which explains about all of these tracts of land. This tract of land, it is called as Kim Purusha. Kim in Sanskrit is what or who, you know, and Purusha means the dweller. So if you say, what type of men are these, you know, Kim Purusha, what type of men are these? The question the tract of land is called as Kim Purusha because what type of species these are? You know? They look very strange, and yet they are the devotees of the Lord. In the 11th canto, 16th chapter, verse 29, Lord Hanuman says, Kim Purusham Hanuman. I am Hanuman among the Kim Purushas. I am that Kim Purusha. I am Hanuman among the Kim Purushas. So, Lord Hanuman addresses himself as one of the dwellers of Kim Purusha. So the glories of Hanuman should be spoken so that we can get purified. We can get purified by just speaking about his katha. And Ramayana cannot be complete without the mention of Lord Hanuman, actually, in one sense, because he is the great eternal devotee of the Lord, who worships Lord Ram as Atmeshwara. We generally see Hanuman splitting his chest, and we'll see Rama, Lakshmana and Sita inside his chest, where he has, well, the Lord always resides in our heart, but Hanuman is one who has recognized or realized that the Lord always resides. Generally, the name Hanuman also has... Sanskritam is again a very interesting language because there are... One word can have multiple meanings. So, generally when we say Hanuman, wherever you go to Merriam-Webster dictionary or you go to some Sanskrit translator, majority of the English dictionaries are actually Prabhupada's words that they have captured from Srimad Bhagavatam and other books that Prabhupada has translated. Or some people who do not know Sanskrit has translated into English. But Hanuman actually comes from the dhatu hana, hana mana. Hana means intelligence. One who has extreme intelligence or one who has realized intelligence is called Hanuman. It is just not that his jaw is huge, because if Hanuman is the one who has a big jaw, then every monkey should have been called as Hanuman, because monkeys have a big jaw. Why only one devotee, one monkey in the lot is to be called as Hanuman? So Hana means intelligence or great intelligence, Hanumana. So there's another understanding or a deeper understanding of his name as well. So this glories of Kim Purusha, we have to understand that these are not fantasy stories. Kim Purusha Varsha, this tract of land, it is said it is beyond the Himalayas if we keep going north. And there is a big debate about whether the earth is round or whether the earth is flat, and where are these tracts of land, and how can one reach there, things like that. We have seen many places in the scriptures, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita also, Sanatana Goswami says, Prahlad Maharaj is instructing Narada Muni that you should go and see Hanuman in Kim Purusha Varsha. You should go and meet him there. So Narada Muni says, glorious, I should go there. And Narada Muni is capable to go. He can go to Kim Purusha Varsha and see and witness Hanuman worshipping Lord Ram. Although, it is said, right now, it is Kali Yuga in Bharata Varsha. But other Varshas, it's not Kali Yuga yet. So Kali Yuga means the consciousness in this Yuga is gross. So therefore they cannot travel beyond the single tract of land called Bharatavarsha. And they get grosser into illusion or ignorance, thinking that that earth is just a globe and that is all. We are the only inhabitants in this universe, floating in thin dark space. So with this verse, we also see that Hanuman is also saying that material qualities, people with material qualities cannot approach you. What's interesting is, if we see the Bharata Samskriti or the Vedic tract of land which is in, which we call it as Bharata, I was reading a book long time ago. It's called as The Story of India by an author called Michael Woods, which I picked up from a library. I think he's a BBC author. It's a six-part series of a book. He says, if someone has to understand the culture of this country, it's so difficult. It's very complex. The culture is very complex because every 100 kilometers, the culture changes, the people's dressing changes, the language changes, their cooking changes, their likes and dislikes changes. It's so different. Sometimes when we walk here in the streets, the park looks the same. Every park looks the same. The streets look the same. When it's a freeway, every freeway in this country will look the same, almost the same. And there is the same tract of land everywhere. But if you go, even now today in India, every house will be painted with different colors. They'll have different dishes, different vegetables, which people are unaware of, actually. So there's so much diversity. So Michael Wood writes that if someone has to know the culture of this land, there are two books that has influenced the culture of this country. And the two books are Mahabharata and Ramayana, if somebody has to understand the culture. And what's interesting is the amount of influence that these two books have done to the consciousness of the people, to the culture, is amazing. These two books, Ramayana and Mahabharata. Even today, these are sung, these are heard, and these are glorified. And especially these two authors. Who are those two authors? Vyasadeva and Valmiki. These two authors have had so much influence on this tract of land, and they continue to have it. That's an amazing work of poetry of these two authors, Mahabharata and Ramayana. And we all know Mahabharata is one of the longest eulogy or a poem which any human can write. And therefore, there were Western authors who tried to say, probably Mahabharata was not written by one man, it was written by so many people and then assembled together. But what's interesting is if you see Ramayana, if you see Mahabharata, and if you see Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Puranas, and all other Vedic scriptures, there is so much harmony amongst these scriptures. Like here, Kim Purusha Varsha has been explained. Kim Purusha Varsha is also spoken about in Mahabharata. It is also spoken about largely in Ramayana also. There's so much so much harmony amongst these writings. If it was written by many authors, naturally you will feel there is some disconnect among these books, but you don't see that. So therefore we can see that this is also a part of the Vedas. That is why in one sense Vedas are apaurusheya, and those which describe the Vedas are also apaurusheya in that sense, although it was composed by the authors, seemingly composed by the authors. And Bhagavatam brings them all together, which gives Gayatri Bhashav in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Skanda Purana that Bhagavatam is Gayatri Bhashav, means it is the assimilation of the Vedas. Hence it is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is the summary of the Veda, or it is the Vedanta Sutra, or a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Coming from Bhagavatam to Ramayana, Ramayana has how many khandas or sections? Seven khandas, right? So we start from Bala Khanda up until the Uttara Khanda. In between these khandas, if you see the khandas or the sections that Ramayana has, there are two very critical sections that come up out in Ramayana. For example, the first is Bala Khanda, Ayodhya Khanda, and Aranya Khanda, where Rama goes to the forest, Vanvas. There, he loses Sita. Mother Sita has been abducted by Lord Ram. If there was no Hanuman story, then the story would have ended there. Rama would have lamented continuously. We see in Ramayana, we saw the few verses before, that Rama was lamenting. It appeared that like Rama was lamenting. Just when that happens, this is how the next kanda or section is introduced. Valmiki introduces a kanda called as Kishkinda Kanda. In this Kanda, you will see Rama is entering the forest of Kishkindha, and he is everything that he looks. There is a vast section of at least 100 verses that Valmiki writes of how Rama was lamenting. He's looking at the lotus flower and remembering Sita. He's looking at the tree, he's remembering Sita. He's looking at the forest flowers, remembering Sita. He's looking at the bees and remembering Sita. So much so that Lakshmana gets a bit annoyed. Why is my elder brother becoming so mad? No, at least he should have some intelligence. And that is what Hanuman says. It seems as if Rama is disturbed, but Lord Rama is teaching us a lesson how not to get bewildered by attachment. Attachment to the opposite sex is very dangerous, and one can be bereft of the intelligence. Although this is not a mundane attachment that Lord Rama is demonstrating. It is viraha bhava, or it is vipralamba bhava that he had from Mother Sita. This Kishkindha Kanda is very significant because it is then when he meets Hanuman. That is the first time Hanuman is introduced in the scene. It's very interesting. And after that comes Sundara Kanda. What is interesting is, Valmiki did not call any other sections as Sundara Kanda. What is Sundara? Beautiful. In a literal sense, it means beautiful. Why is that beautiful? Every Kanda is beautiful. Ayodhya Kanda is beautiful. Bala Kanda is so beautiful. Aranya Kanda is also beautiful. Ayodhya Kanda also is very beautiful because it is Sammilan of Mother Sita and Rama, and then we have Uttarakanda, Yuddhakanda, and Uttarakanda is there where he is coronated back again. Why is Valmiki calling this Kanda as Sundara Kanda? Why is he calling it as Sundara Kanda? Why is it beautiful? That is the Kanda where Hanuman goes to Lanka and finds Sita and all of that. What is so beautiful about that? Rama is still lamenting. Rama and Sita are separate. But yet Valmiki calls it as Sundara Kanda. So there are, In the Itihasa and the Puranas, there are languages which we have to understand. There are subtle clues. For example, here we had the king Nabhi's explanation. Why is a king called Nabhi? Nabhi means the navel, right? It's called as Nabhi. But we know that fifth canto represents the navel of the Lord. Hence the story of King Nabhi comes there. So you see, there are subtle hints of how we can connect this to the Lord. So there must be some connection of how Kishkindha Kanda and Sundara Kanda are connected to the Lord. It is said that, as I said, Sanskrit has many meanings, especially Mahabharata. Every word in Mahabharata has 10 different meanings that Mahabharata itself claims. Ekam shabdham dasharthe, it is said, 10 meanings. Sundara also has another meaning. Sundara comes from the word su-dara. Dara comes from the word adara. Adara means respect in literal sense, but Adara also means bhakti or worship of the Lord. And Su means the Supreme Lord. Su means it is the auspicious Lord. We say Sukara, you know, Sukara. He comes as Varaha. He's called as Sukara. What is Sukara? Boar. Generally it is a boar, but if you break it, Sukara. Su means what? We call Subhadra, Abhadra. Su means auspiciousness. Auspiciousness. Kara means one who does auspicious things. Sukara. So if you see, etymology of Sanskritam is very, very nice. Sukara is just not a boar. Yeah, literally it means a boar. But Sukara means one who does kara, su. One who does auspicious activities is called Sukara. So in the same way, Su, dara, adara means bhakti. Su means one who does bhakti towards that Supreme Lord is called Sundara. Not just beautiful, but one who does supremely bhakti to the Supreme Lord is called Sundara. Therefore, he calls that Kanda as Sundara Kanda. Why? Because it is that Kanda which every devotee should imbibe. We will discuss that, what it means, actually. But before that, we will just discuss, we will refute what Hanuman has said here. Because Hanuman is saying, one who has got material opulence, they cannot reach you. And how did we reach you? We are inhabitants of the forest. Now, let us go into Ram Leela a little bit. The Kishkindha Kanda, when Rama is walking in the forest, so lamenting about Sita Devi, there is a scene where he's entering the forest lamenting. How is Rama and Lakshmana clad? They are clad as sadhus. Orange robes, but they have they have bow and arrow. Rama has abandoned everything. He abandoned the mukut. He abandoned the beautiful ornaments that he adorned. He abandoned everything, the material opulence that he was displaying as a king of son of Dasharatha. But he did not abandon his bow and arrow. What does it mean? It means, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam sambhavami. Yuge yuge. My purpose is to protect the devotees, and I'll be always on guard to do that with the bow and arrow. So that's why we see the Lord Rama carrying. So devotees are meek and humble, but at the same time, when it comes to protect the devotees, they take the mood of the Lord. So when Lord Rama and Lakshmana were walking in the forest, the gang of monkeys with Sugriva and the others, Vanara, I shouldn't be calling them monkeys, but Vanara Sena, but the closest is humanoid. I don't know why we should call Vanara as a monkey, but for understanding's sake, let's call them as a bunch of the Vanara Sena. They are a bit disturbed. Who are these two people entering the forest, and why are they entering our forest now? They must be Guptachar or detectives from whom? Vali. So Sugriva is now disturbed. He's very disturbed. They must be agents sent by Vali. Now, first of all, why is Sugriva disturbed? Because there was a story behind it also. Why is that? Because there was a demon. So Vali was not supposed to enter this parvata. There is a mountain on which Sugriva is residing, and all his teammates are there. Vali cannot enter that mountain because he has been cursed by a sage that if you enter this mountain, you will die immediately. You will be killed. Why? Because he had killed a demon called Dundubi, a buffalo demon. And he had offended this sage, apparently. And the sage had cursed. So therefore, Vali cannot enter this mountain. So therefore, Sugriva has gone, taken shelter of this. And Vali has been sending lot of Guptachar, lot of detectives to kill Sugriva. So Sugriva is now thinking, maybe these two sages are also one of their people, one of his people, Rama and Lakshmana. But then in that group, there is one person who is not disturbed, who is always sitting there cool and calm and composed. And that is our hero, who is Lord Hanuman. So then Hanuman says, no, they must not be people of Vali. They look like very, very nice gentlemen. They are so sober, if you see, they are so beautiful to look at. Madhvacharya says in his commentary, in the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya, that Hanuman is the incarnation of Vayu. Hanuman comes back as Bhima and comes back as Madhvacharya. He says, he is all-knowing in one sense, because Vayu is also is omnipresent also. You see, Vayu, air is everywhere. So he imbues that quality from the Lord. So it is not that Hanuman did not know it was the Supreme Lord. But generally, to keep the story interesting, there is a Leela going on. So he says, no, they are genuine people. So Sugriva advises Hanuman to say, you should go and talk to them. Go and talk to them, but go in a disguise as a brahmachari, as a bhikshu, basically. So Hanuman agrees to go as a duta of Sugriva. So there is a difference between duta and dasa. He does not go as a dasa of Sugriva. It's not a servant of Sugriva. It is the messenger of Sugriva. So he goes as a messenger of Sugriva and goes to Lord Rama and presents himself. He speaks to Lord Rama in the disguise of a brahmachari, orange clad clothes. Now, Rama and Lakshmana very eagerly listen to Hanuman. Of course, Lord Rama knows he is Hanuman. But they very eagerly listen. After listening, after a long time, Lord Rama tells to Lakshmana, looking at Hanuman, he tells to Lakshmana, Na Rigvedo Vinithasa, Na Yajurvedo Dharinaha, Na Samaveda Vidushaha, Sakhyamevam Prabhashitum. A person who is not well versed, Na Rigveda Vinithasa, Na Yajurveda Dharinaha, Na Samaveda Vidushaha. A person who is Vinita in Rigveda. Vinita means what? Vinita means who has understood the whole Rigveda, who has digested it and realized the essence of Rigveda. Na Yajurveda Dharinaha. One who has assimilated the entire Yajurveda. And Na Samaveda Vidushaha. One who has mastered the Samaveda. Shakhyamevam Prabhasitum. A person who has not mastered all these three Vedas cannot speak like this. So this person must be a very intelligent person. He has understood all the three Vedas very nicely. So look at the way he is speaking. This is Rama appreciating Lord Hanuman. This is how Lord Rama introduces Hanuman to Lakshmana. Look, now think about it. Just now in this verse, Hanuman said, Tairyad Vishrishtan Apino Vanaukashas. We are just indwellers of the forest. We don't even look beautiful and we can't even speak properly eloquent speech. Yet you are so merciful to him. That is what Hanuman introduces himself as. Rama says, this person must be Vinitaha in Rigveda, Dharanascha Yajurveda, and Vidushaha Samaveda. He is expert of Samaveda. Only then someone can speak like this. Generally, if we have to speak, there is something called a Shabda Shastra. All of this is there in the Shastras. Only then someone can speak very nicely. I was in the UK for a couple of years, and there I saw people are getting lazier to even call names. You know, if someone is called as Adrian, they will call Ed. Someone is called as Timothy, they will shorten it to Tim. They want to call one word. You know, they are so lazy, they can't sound three syllables also very nicely. Huh? If they are Mary, they will say May. So like that. If someone is Hanuman, they will call him Han. Han only. Huh? Like that. So people are getting lazier and lazier, and they are forgetting the beauty of language. But here, if the Shastras also speak about phonetics, Shabda Shastra. But it's very nice in the English language. Here I see in the schools, they are taught phonetics. Generally, it's forgotten. In Indian schools, we have never taught phonetics because we have been massacred for the last 1,500 years by, what is that? By annexers. And they have annexed this country. So everything's been destroyed. But we see that Shabda Shastra, that the eloquent speech also is a quality that one should imbibe if one has to speak very nicely. For example, we see Srila Prabhupada, we have heard his many recordings. Not a single recording I have heard, at least till now. I've just heard him for past a decade, but Prabhupada has never said, I didn't mean that, but I meant this. No, his speech was so eloquent. Whatever he spoke, Prabhupada spoke with heaviness, you know. That is the quality of a devotee. Na Rigveda Vinitasa, na Yajurveda Dharinaha, na Samaveda Vidushaha. And then he also says, Nunam Vyakaranam Krishnam Anena Bahudashrutam Bahu Vyaharatanena Naginchit Apashabdhitam. He spoke for so long, Lakshmana, but not one mistake he did in his speech. Huh? He's saying like that. Who's saying that? Rama is giving a title, a certificate to Lord Hanuman of how nice this person is speaking. And yet Hanuman tells himself that I am from a forest, I can't speak properly, we don't look nice and things like that. So this is a trait of a devotee and how this discussion is going on. Rama is saying he's mastered grammar and so nicely he's speaking to us. This is what the episode happens in Kishkindha Kanda. And then Hanuman says, Rama doesn't talk to Hanuman directly. He tells to Lakshmana, you speak to him, why has he come to us? You know, why? Because Hanuman has said, I am a messenger of Sugriva. That means he's come as a messenger. And Rama here is the king. So he will also talk to the messenger and two messengers will speak. Hanuman and Lakshmana will speak to each other. So like that Rama doesn't speak to Hanuman directly but tells to Lakshmana, you tell him that what is the cause he has come. And then Hanuman understands and he says, I think you should be making friendship with, Sugriva is expecting your friendship. So Hanuman introduces like that. So Hanuman is such an able messenger, although Sugriva had not told him to tell him that I have to make friends with Rama. But Hanuman has gone a little ahead and said, Sugriva is waiting to become your friend. This is the quality of an able messenger. That he knows when to speak, how to present certain interests. So that there we see the dakshata or the eloquence of Lord Hanuman. So like that, we see that there are so many great qualities that Rama himself appreciates Lord Hanuman. In fact, we see after everything in the last kanda, in the last section, when Rama is coronated, Rama invites Hanuman and calls Hanuman and says, for the great help you have done, you have given me back my Sita Devi. Without Sita Devi, I'm left alone. You have saved my brother Lakshmana. Two times, not once, two times. So what do you want in return? And Hanuman starts weeping. He said, Lord Rama, I did not do this for an exchange of something. Please don't ask me like that. I feel I'm. If you ask me like this, I'll feel I'm someone else. I'm feeling distant from you. Please don't ask me like this. And very similarly, he says, I don't want anything from you. And the same request was asked by whom in Bhagavatam? Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj also says, I don't want any boon from you. And similarly, in the Chaitanya Leela also, there are two devotees who are asked a boon. Who are they? One Prabhupada mentions, Kolavecha Sridhara also was asked for a boon, and Murari Gupta also was asked for a boon. And how they're all connected, we will see actually. So like this, Hanuman says, I don't want anything. And then Lord Rama looks at Mother Sita, and he says, my devotee is not accepting anything. And Mother Sita also glances at Lord Rama. And Lord Rama in the eyes conveys something to Mother Sita. It is said that Lord Rama had given a necklace to Mother Sita. So imagine the Lord, Supreme Lord, giving something very close and dear to Lord, to Mother Sita. That means it's a very dear gift to Sita, Sita Devi. That which is given by the Supreme Lord. So Sita Devi takes out that necklace and offers it to Lord Hanuman as an object of love. And then Hanuman accepts it. He doesn't accept anything from Ram, but he accepts it from Mother Sita. So this is the great quality of Hanuman that we see. And this is how one should be. That's what Prabhupada writes here, that akinchana gochara. Lord, the Supreme Lord is only accessible for someone who is akinchana. Akinchana means who doesn't have any hankerings for material opulence. Janmaishwarya shrita shribhir yedamana madah puman. One who is attracted to material opulence, they cannot be attracted to Krishna, or they cannot take up Krishna consciousness. That is what Prabhupada writes, and that is what Lord Hanuman also is saying. And Hanuman is an epitome of that particular understanding, that he was bereft of beauty, yet he had all the auspicious qualities. Generally, in today's world, everything has become gross. If somebody looks beautiful from the material point of view, he is appreciated a lot. Grossification of qualities has happened. If somebody behaves externally very eloquent, we will appreciate him. But what is happening in Kali Yuga, people have lost to appreciate subtler qualities of the devotees, or subtler qualities in everyone. These subtle qualities have to be honed and appreciated. One needs to understand that in the Vedic civilization, people demonstrated subtler qualities. Like for example, being shy is an abharana, or an ornament of a woman, it says. But who can appreciate that? First of all, who can have that shyness in the first place? The second thing is, who has the eyes to notice that and appreciate it? And in the second sense, both of these are not there in today's civilization. So one has to, Radhanath Maharaj says in one of the lectures, that grossification of qualities, grossification of relationships has happened. Therefore, subtler qualities are lost. But here, although Hanuman appears to be from a forest, or he is a forest indweller, grossly he might look very naive or a very forest indweller, but subtler qualities are very superior, and that is what Lord Rama is glorifying Hanuman about it. Therefore, Lord Hanuman is said that, if you see Hanuman Chalisa also, he is said that he is a great poet. When Hanuman sings, it is said here, when actually Hanuman is singing the glories of Ramayana in Kimpurusha Varsha, and the leader of that Varsha is hearing Hanuman. And if you see the same story, Bhima in Mahabharata, Bhima generally is spoken as a voracious eater. He is like a bhondu, very big, fat person. No, Bhima was the most intelligent. That is why he did not have any doubts in the Mahabharata war. Kurukshetra, only the people who have student who have doubts only will get clarified. So who had all the doubts? Arjuna had the doubt, therefore the clarification was asked. Because many people ask, why did Bhima not ask questions? Why only Arjuna's discussion is there in the Bhagavad Gita? Why is Yudhishthira not asking? Why? Because they did not have questions, Baba. In a class, only one student has questions, so the teacher is answering those. So Bhima is also said to be very intelligent. In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is said Arjuna is protected by Bhima. On the other side, there is Bhishma and Drona. On this side, there is Bhima and Hanuman. Both of them are protecting whom? Protecting Arjuna. So therefore, even in the Mahabharata, Bhima is very intelligent. At the same, and you know, he was also a very good cook. You know, in the Vanvas, Bhima was cooking. So he had all these intrinsic and auspicious qualities. And even when he came as Madhvacharya, it is said when Madhvacharya used to sing, dead plants used to become alive. When Madhvacharya used to play Veena, when he used to play Veena, there was no one in this universe who could play Veena like him. There were no one in the universe who can sing Samaveda like him. Yet he used to look like a very built bodybuilder, because he used to make his sannyasi disciples play wrestling matches. But at the same time, he said, Sakala Kala Vallabha. All qualities, all the arts one needs to learn. The art of singing, the art of cooking, one needs to learn. And this we see in Srila Prabhupada as well. He was an expert in cooking, expert in singing, expert in preaching, erudite scholar, expert in writing, expert in discussing, expert in interviewing, you name it. Prabhupada was with it. We can call Prabhupada as the Sakala Kala Vallabha. So like that, this is the understanding from the Ramalila. Now we have Bhagavat Katha, we had Ramalila. How can we end it without Chaitanya Leela? Now, Hanuman also has a very unique quality. What was that he displayed in Ramayana? What did he serve Rama as? One is he served Rama as the Dasya Bhav. He also served Rama as a very, very, as a messenger. But he also served Rama as a doctor, because he brought the Sanjeevani Parvata for curing Lord Hanuman. Who was the doctor in Chaitanya Leela? Murari Gupta. Therefore, Murari Gupta is Lord Hanuman. He is the expansion, or he is the Avesha of Lord Hanuman. So therefore, we have to understand that this eternal servitor of Lord Rama also comes in the Chaitanya Leela as Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta was a senior in the school. And it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta used to argue on Shastras a lot. They used to argue so much that they used to fight. The fighting used to continue from the school till the Ganga Tat. The ladies used to become afraid. Oh, these two guys are fighting again. They're debating and they're pushing each other. So sometimes they used to discuss so much. Murari Gupta was a senior in the class in that sense with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, although Murari Gupta was very senior in terms of age, he was a grihastha. He was a grihastha living a very simple life, but he was the vaidya in the Navadvip. He was coming from a medical family, so therefore he was the medical doctor. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to always pull his leg. Let us make fun of this doctor now. So Murari Gupta was a very, very intimate associate of the Lord. Very intimate associate of the Lord. During the, in the Shrivas Angan, when Mahaprabhu used to have kirtans, Murari Gupta also used to sing the Bhagavata shlokas in a very eloquent way. So he was also a beautiful singer to please the Supreme Lord. And we all know the test that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tests Murari Gupta. And we all know the Ishta Devata of Murari Gupta was Sri Rama. Of course, because he is Lord Hanuman himself. So therefore, in the Mahaprakash Leela that Mahaprabhu displayed, he tells to Murari Gupta, he says, Murari Gupta, look at me, behold the form that you worship. And then Murari Gupta opens his eyes and he could see Lord Rama. It is said he had the color of Durva grass. You see the painting here, he had a little greenish tinge. Rama had a little greenish tinge. And Murari Gupta saw that he saw Lord Ram. And Murari Gupta, he also says, look at to the right of me, and there is Lakshmana, whom you saved two times in the war of Ravana, Yuddha Kanda. You saved him two times. Do you remember, Murari Gupta? Murari, do you remember? And Murari Gupta is now bewildered, looking at Lakshmana, and then sees, do you remember your mother, Mother Sita, who is standing on the right, left of me? Murari Gupta is in tears. He's almost about to fall unconscious. And then Murari Gupta is advised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, look down, and he sees down. Then he's seeing his tail also. And then he sees, oh, he's got a tail as well. So Murari Gupta then realizes he's Hanuman. And he's Hanuman who has come in the Chaitanya Leela to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself to Murari Gupta. And it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did so many Aishwarya pastimes with Murari Gupta also. Because one time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing on the street, he heard Vishnu Sahasranamam. When he heard Vishnu Sahasranamam, he ran into the angan of Murari Gupta and he displayed the Sukara form, the wild boar incarnation of the Lord, of the Supreme Lord. So like that, Prabhupada also writes in one of the purports before that there is no difference between Lord Ram and Lord Krishna in that sense. He is the Supreme Lord anyways. It is one person and two bhavas. That's all. That's the only difference. But yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tests Murari Gupta. How deeply he is connected to Lord Rama. So he asks Murari Gupta to say, we are worshippers of Krishna. You should also worship Krishna. And we all know Murari Gupta tries really hard to do it. And he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, it's not possible, my dear Lord. It's not possible for me. I'm a sold-out servant of Lord Rama. I'm a sold-out servant of Lord Rama and you are asking me to worship Lord Krishna. But I can't. He is worshipable, but I'm a sold-out servant of Lord Rama. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hugs him. And he says, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Lord Murari Gupta like this. You are Murari. What is Murari? Murari means Lord Krishna. You have stored Krishna in your heart. I know that. That is why you are Murari Gupta. Gupta means secret. You have secretly stored him in your heart. Therefore, you worship him as Lord Rama. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies him among the devotees and everybody shout, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, in glorification of Murari Gupta. So like this, there are a lot of incidents that happen in Chaitanya Charitamrita also about Lord Hanuman. With this, I'll stop here with two verses which is glorifying Hanuman. One verse is called as Anjana Nandanam Viram Janakishokanashanam Kapisham Akshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhurashtakam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam. Anjana Nandanam. He is the son of Anjana. Anjana, that is why he is called as Anjaneya. He is Viram, he is very strong, and he is Janaki Shokanashanam. When he meets Janaki, who is Janaki? Mother Sita. When he meets Mother Sita first time in the Ashoka Vana, in the forest, just by looking at Hanuman, the shoka, the separation that Mother Sita had from Lord Ram was vanished. Now when we talk about Rasa Leela, when we talk about Krishna's pastime, as the devotees of Lord Krishna, as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us one rasa. What is that one rasa he came to teach us? Actually, it is Dasya Rasa. That is why we call him as Prabho. Prabho means master, means I am your servant. That is why we are called as Dasas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to teach us Dasya Rasa. Because if one cannot be Dasya, one cannot imbibe the Madhurya Rasa, which is the supermost. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us Dasya of Chaitanya. So we have to become the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, what is our duty? Our duty is to bring pleasure to Krishna and Radha. When we bring Radha and Krishna together, this is where our realization is. Our realization is to bring Radha and Krishna together. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also the same thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You see, Hare Krishna is Radha and Krishna together. Radha and Krishna together. And then Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare are separate now again. And Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is separation and union. Separation, it is Vipralamba and Sambhoga. Vipralamba and Sambhoga. A devotee's main purpose is to Sambhoga of the Lord, to see that when the Lord is in Vipralamba, to bring them together is the purpose of a devotee. And that is the only dhyaya, the goal of a devotee is to see and to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. And therefore we take pleasure when we see Radha and Krishna together. Jugala Rupa, Jugala Rasa. And this is the same Rasa Hanuman demonstrated by bringing Sita and Rama together. And that is also is what is, that is why it is called a Sundara Kanda. Because that is the crux of devotional service. That is why he is an epitome of bhakti. Bhakta means Hanuman because he brings Sita and Rama together. See, up until Kishkindha Kanda, he is separated. Yeah, there are so many devotees around Rama. But who brought them together? It is Hanuman. Who brought them together? This is Madhurya. This is the Dasya Rasa that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, that we have to first become servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he teaches us how to bring Radha and Krishna together. When we bring Radha and Krishna together, then we become satisfied. Our purpose of living becomes satisfied. And the Krishna Prema means to see the Krishna Prema of Radharani into Krishna. We see that particular Prema and then we imbibe that. Therefore, we are followers of Rupa Goswami, who is the followers of whom? Followers of Radharani. So actually, we are in the followers of Radharani. Therefore, the Krishna Prema doesn't mean we love Krishna. Yes, we love Krishna, but that love is the love to become, to imbibe the love that Radha has towards Krishna. To become very happy when we see when Lord Radha and when Lord Krishna and Radha are together. This is what we sing in the Jhulan Yatra also has started. When we push the swing of Radha and Krishna, the Rasa Parayana, in the Rasa Leela, we become happy because Krishna is with all the gopis. Our intention is not to be with Krishna. Our intention is to become pleased by seeing Krishna with the gopis. And our intention is to facilitate Krishna's pleasure to be with the gopis. So that is the pleasure which the devotees come to imbibe, and that is the pleasure that Lord Hanuman actually wanted to serve Lord Rama with. Lord Hanuman could have killed Ravana very easily, but he says, if I kill Ravana, then the glories will become mine. So this is the beauty, that Lord Rama always wants Hanuman to be glorified. Lord Hanuman always wants the Lord to be glorified. If I kill Ravana, people will think Hanuman killed, so what is so great about Rama? So I will not do the job. Let my Lord do the job. Let my Lord do the job. So this is what, in Hindi it is said, unke kan kan mein bhakti tha. In his nerves, in his every drop of ounce of blood, Rama, Rama. Hanuman even today, Rama, 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 Sita, Rama, 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 Sita, Rama. So he's always praying like that, all the time. So therefore he is an embodiment of devotional service of the Madhurya Rasa between Rama and Sita. So therefore I will stop here, and we thank Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees for giving us an opportunity to speak about such a glorious devotee, Lord Hanuman, and to speak on this auspicious day of Dwadasi or Trayodasi of this month, of the second month of Chaturmas. Or this is still the first month. The second month is starting very soon. So we'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, you can have for a while.
What I'm saying is that Lord Rama is the Lord in everyone's heart and he knows everything. When he goes to the forest, then Bharata brings the news that our father has died, and then he breaks down like that, you know? But then, so how do we understand all these leelas? Because Lord Rama already knows that Dashrata is dead, but then he reacts like this the first time I'm hearing it. And same with other Krishna leela, Chaitanya leela also. So it's a bit bewildering. You think, doesn't he know that?
Actually, Rama is all-knowing. He is sarvagna, he is sarvavyapaka, he is sarvasamartha. He is omnipresent, omniscient and omnipotent Lord. But we have to see, Ramayana, itihasa has many purposes. The first purpose is to teach us the ultimate purpose of our existence, which is to worship Lord Rama. But the second purpose is, it is a kavya, it is a poetry. So if the Lord is always behaving like the Lord, where is the fun? If Krishna doesn't run away when Yashoda Maya is chasing him, where is the fun of that that rasa that Yashoda Maya is exchanging with Lord Krishna? So in the same way, where is that fun when Lord Rama will lament when the father has passed away and he says, I'm bereft of my father's shelter now. So it is the rasa that the Lord teaches, and there are many lessons that come about that Lord Rama teaches us by his example as well. So he doesn't display his godhood all the time. And the same thing which we discussed, that Rama is now bewildered, separating from Krishna, he cries, he laments so much. And it also teaches a lesson that if you get attached to someone, the effect is lamentation like this. One will have to lament if you get attached. So the Lord teaches us like that by embodying those principles. That is why he's called as Maryada Purushottam. Actually, Rama's another duty also was, there was a boon for Ravana that only a human can kill me. So therefore, Rama never claimed that he is God, although he was the Supreme Lord himself. So he enacted as a human-like pastime. It is only Krishna who displays his godhood in one sense many times in the Krishna Leela. Because he says, I am God many times. Krishna actually in the Bhagavad Gita says, I am God. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate mattaha parataram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganaiva. Krishna says, Rama doesn't say anything like that. Rama says, I am the law. I am just a human. I am just a son of Dasharatha. I am just a Janaki Vallabha. So he's actually bringing down his position, but at the same time, we know that he is the Supreme Lord. So he has a role to play. He is, to enact a role, there has to be the best actor. Rama also is the best actor. How one can act, we have to learn from Rama only. How one can act so nicely. You know that you are not the son of Dasharatha, yet you are crying so nicely. Rama is saying, look at the way I act. The acting also you have to learn from me only. Only I can act like that. You cannot act like that. Like that. So that's why Valmiki writes 100 verses explaining Rama's lamentation on Sita Devi, how he is lamenting like that. So it's just an acting that Rama does, Madhuri.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very interesting explanation. Another point is Jambudvipa has many varshas. Before we started this prayer section, we were reading Introduction to Jambudvipa.
Yep.
And there it's mentioned that they're very beautiful, and you know, the fragrance from their body goes many miles, and it's Swarga as well, the pious. Yeah. There's a lot of enjoyment there.
Yes.
So in that sense, that's detrimental. But this is like a there's prayers also, and there's enjoyment also.
Yes.
In one sense,
yes.
Like Bharatvarsha,
yes.
Itself.
Yes. Yes. That is why, actually, after Lord Rama finishes his pastimes and goes back to Ayodhya in the spiritual world, he offers Hanuman, do you want to come or do you want to go and preach? Hanuman says, I would like to preach for you, my dear Lord. What is the service? So therefore, Hanuman is staying in Kimpurusha Varsha as an act of preaching service for the Lord Hanuman, of Lord Ram. He did not go back with Ram. So he's actually separated from Lord Rama and Lakshmana and Sita. But what is his service? He's preaching to the Kimpurusha Vashis. Don't get entangled in these comforts, because our job is to worship Lord Rama. Our job is to get liberated from this material existence. So therefore, Lord Hanuman takes this position to preach to them. So therefore, even in the spiritual world, we have, even in the heavenly planets, we have Brihaspati, who will wake up all these denizens of heaven to say, hey, don't think that this is a place to stay eternally. So your duty here also is to worship the land. So therefore, the chances to get entangled are more in these places. But we have the Lord's messengers everywhere. Not only here, we have Hanuman in Kimpurusha Varsha. Like that, you'll have a lot of devotees everywhere who are preaching and continuing this preaching activity. And here we have seen that Lord Hanuman is preaching to the people of Kimpurusha Varsha there. Yet we say Bharata Varsha is also called as the Karma Bhumi. Therefore, it is better here, so finish our business here, not end up in Kimpurusha Varsha or Swargaloka, so that we have to spend some more time there. So it's better we finish our business in this planet and go back home, back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada's mission is about. Does it make sense, Madhuri? Yeah. We'll stop here. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.